Let's read together Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 49. Which is the third petition? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will and without murmuring obey thy will, which is only good. That so everyone may attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. This morning, beloved, we come to the last of the three petitions which immediately concern God. Thy will be done. Moving forwards from the first three petitions, the logic is as follows. Father, hallow thy name. Through the coming of thy kingdom, so that thy will is done on earth, even as it is in heaven. We could turn that around and pray, may thy will be done on earth, third petition, and so manifest the coming of thy kingdom, second petition, in order that thy name be hallowed. First petition. The will of God, which is the subject of the third petition, has, as you know, two senses. We speak rightly, too, of God's decretive will, which is the rule for his actions, his eternal counsel, which always comes to pass with respect to everything. And besides God's decretive will, his eternal counsel and plan, all-encompassing, we have God's preceptive will, which is his rule for our actions, which rarely comes to pass. And in this third petition, thy will be done, we're praying concerning the latter, God's will of command, that it be obeyed. Though, of course, this is not altogether apart from God's decretive will and everlasting counsel. Now, the petition, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, reveals to us much about Almighty God. It tells us that God has a will, that he makes choices, that he declares to us what is pleasing to him, and what pleases him is what is in accordance with his own blessed being. And since God has a will, God is personal, not just some vague force. And with a will, choosing the good for us in accordance with his own being, God also has intellect. He thinks as well as wills. In fact, with God, since he is absolutely one, he is his will and he is his intellect, for they are all one in him. The third petition tells us that God is the absolutely sovereign Lord because his will must be obeyed in heaven and on earth, and he punishes those who don't obey his will, and that all spheres are his domain, heaven and earth. This God, who rules over all spheres and lays down the law, both in heaven and in earth, is entirely immense, filling all things. So that he not only rules in heaven and earth, but he is present, always, everywhere, with all of his being, in heaven and in earth, yet cannot be contained by either. When we pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we are also confessing that Jehovah is righteous and good. His will is freely obeyed in heaven. His will ought to be freely obeyed on earth because his will is perfectly righteous and good. We know that it is only the believer in Jesus Christ who understands and loves the true living God. We know that he is a personal, willing God, the sovereign who fills all things with a will that is righteous and good, because we know him as our Father for Jesus' sake. We know him through the cross. You see God through the crucifixion of Jesus 2,000 years ago. And in him we understand the Maker and Lord of all. And because we know him as such, this is the logic of the third petition, we desire that his will be done on earth. And so we pray that his will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Is this what we pray? You do pray. Do you pray this? The children can pray this too, and ought to pray that God's will may be done. That above all, God's will may be done. And this is the heart of the child of God. It certainly is his regenerate heart. And this is the praying of the third petition of the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done. First, the rich meaning. And second, the important adjunct, as it is in heaven, not just on earth. Thy will be done. Rich meaning and important adjunct. Praying the third petition, obviously and most basically, involves the prayer that God's will be revealed to others and to me. You've got to know what God's will is in order to do it. This Psalm 119, and we're especially going to refer to verses 25 through 32, the fourth part, contains the line in verse 26, "Teach me thy statutes." And verse 27, "Make me to understand the way of thy precepts." And the Apostle Paul, in different words, prays for the same thing in Colossians 1. "We do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." That last point picks up on the truth that the third petition involves a prayer for wisdom, that we be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, to quote Ephesians 5, that we might know, Paul says in Romans 12, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, his will for our living. We must know that. When we pray, "Thy will be done," and when we pray, therefore, that we know this will, first of all, we're obviously praying too for God's blessings on the means for growing in the knowledge of Jehovah's holy will. When we pray, "Thy will be done," in other words, we're asking the Lord to help me to study the scriptures to learn of God's ways. That obviously follows, doesn't it? When we pray, "Thy will be done," we're also praying that the catechism class may be successful under God's blessing of getting into the heads and hearts of the children the mind and will of God in Jesus Christ that they may walk in. "Thy will be done" is answered too when people go home from a church service understanding the goodness of God's commandments for their lives. And when you read some good spiritual edifying material, you pray, "Thy will be done. Teach me the way of thy commandments, and so will I keep it unto the end." This, of course, exposes all those who mouth the Lord's Prayer, but who then make little or no effort to learn God's will. In the Church of Rome, though there is much rote recitation of things like the Lord's Prayer, the view is that ignorance is the mother of devotion. It's almost a principle, so that the people know little or nothing of God's word. You would almost think that that was their intention, the Roman hierarchy. And really it is. Because it's much easier to keep people in subjection to the church and fill them with unbiblical superstition if they don't know the will of God in the scriptures. You keep them in darkness. One could say that the places of devotion within Romanism are so many altars to the unknown God. We don't know him. We haven't a clue who he is. We've got images and statues which are totally contrary to the knowledge of God. Dumb idols. We're ignorant of God and his will in the third commandment, and that's why we take God's name in vain, commonly. Where do you stop? And much of Protestantism in our decadent age is little better. "Thy will be done on earth." And what about God's will regarding worship? The regulative principle. What does God say about worship? They don't know what it is. They've never heard tell of it. And yet this is the short statement which sums up the Bible's teaching on the central collective obedience and the doing of God's will on earth in the church, her public worship. And Jesus turned to the visible church leaders in his day, the scribes and the Pharisees, and he said, "You do err in your worship, in your devotion, not knowing the scriptures." And that was the problem. It was all worthless. And when one comes to preaching in most Protestant churches, it is of little or no use in learning God's will. Little stories, moralisms, shallow exegesis, the crippling fear of trampling on people's toes so that they might get annoyed, and the sharp two-edged sword of God's law is blunt. The Ten Commandments, meaningless. The role of men and women in marriage, divorce, remarriage. And in some churches, over half of the church's services are spent telling unbelievers that they need to be saved. Now they certainly do, but they don't need to have the church's worship services, over half of them, occupied with that theme. And there is a deeper reason too why in much of the church world God's will of command is so poorly declared, so that people don't know what the will of the Lord is. They don't want to hear about God's will of decree either, including his sovereign, unconditional government of all things, embracing also who are saved and who are not. And those who don't want the will of God's decree as the absolute sovereign the sovereignty of God in choosing and determining all things, don't want the will of God as absolute sovereign in laying down the law as a rule of gratitude for his saved people either. Not only in the third petition, though, do we pray that the will of God may be revealed and received by us, but we also pray that that will of God may be wrought in others and in me. The psalmist prays for this too in the central portion from our perspective this morning in Psalm 119, verse 25. Quicken thou me according to thy word. And quicken means give me life, spiritual life, according to the word. At the very end of this portion, verse 32 says, enlarge my heart, make my heart bigger with love for God and his commandments. And when we pray that God will quicken us according to his word and so enlarge our heart, we are confessing that we have absolutely no power whatsoever of ourselves. Verse 25 says, my soul cleaves unto the dust. That's where I am, groveling around in the soil and dirt. And without Christ, Jesus taught all his disciples, without me, you can do nothing. And the Christian knows that too. I can do absolutely nothing without Jesus Christ. Nothing good, because there's no native virtue and no free will or any such thing in me without Jesus Christ. And so we acknowledge that all of our good works, that is all of our obedience to God's will, is nothing else but God's work in us, whereby his divine power enters into us from outside, granting this heavenly influence which makes us willing in the day of his power. We pray this third petition, thy will be done. May we know this will of God. May God's will be wrought in us by the Holy Spirit. And now thirdly, may it be performed by me and by others. That's what the Christian is taught to pray by the Lord Jesus. In Matthew 6 and Luke 15, when he taught us what we call the Lord's Prayer. Strengthen thou me, says verse 28. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Verse 32, I will run the way of thy commandments. Thy will be done. Not merely thy will be preached about, or thy will be talked about. But we pray, thy will be done. First of all by me, says the Christian. May that will be done. We can think of James 1 talking about our natural face and those who must be not only hearers, but also doers of the word. The Bible reserves a very sharp condemnation for those who know God's will, but don't obey it. It begins with letter H, hypocrite. That's what it is. Paul says it's being a sounding brass. 1 Corinthians 13. And Jesus warned that those who know God's will but don't do it will be beaten with many stripes. Since it is difficult to pray the third petition, that we may know God's will, that will may be wrought in us, and that will may be performed by us, difficult to pray for and do God's will, Jesus encourages us with words such as these. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. John 7, verse 17. Most basically, we know that Jesus spoke words from heaven given to him by his Father by faith. We believe that, and faith is a certain knowledge. But we, believing the words of Jesus, and in the way of doing God's will, grow in that same certainty and conviction that Jesus is God's Son. If any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. John 9. And those who believe, worship God and do his will, God answers their prayers. Not only the prayer that thy will be done on earth even as it is in heaven, the third petition, but other prayers too. We believe, and in the way of doing God's will, he answers our prayers too. He does. And we are here talking about praying and doing the will of our Father which art in heaven. We're doing the will, by God's grace, of the one who loved us with an everlasting love, the one who redeemed us through the blood and sufferings of his only begotten Son. And Father comes to us, looks down from heaven, and he loves to see his children praying for the doing of his will as our Father. And he grants these petitions. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So eager is Almighty God that we do his will, that he even governs heaven and earth for our salvation. His eternal decree and his powerful providence in time, according to these, he gives us these good works, which is the doing of God's will, so that we might walk in them. He even sends us afflictions to chastise us and purify us. As Psalm 119 says elsewhere, the psalmist speaking from experience, it is good that for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn thy statutes. So eager, in fact, is God that we do his will, that he not only chose us unto obedience through Jesus Christ, and he sent that Son to die for us to purchase the grace of the Spirit that we may serve him. But God says in Ezekiel 36, verse 27, I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. That is, he puts the third petition in our hearts and on our lips, and he gives us the grace of obedience. I will put my Spirit within you. I will cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep and do them. The Catechism explains that praying the third petition, grant that we and all men may obey thy will, means grant that we and all men may renounce our own will. We're praying for the doing of God's will, which means we renounce our own wills. The lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh and of the mind, Ephesians 2. The murmuring that so easily rises up within us. We renounce the will of Satan, which is a will that we sin and experience bondage. And we renounce the will of ungodly men, other people too. For we must not live the rest of our lives in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God, 1 Peter 4 declares. And when we renounce our wills, we are obviously engaging in self-denial. No to our own wills, no to the will of Satan, which is sin, and no to the ungodly world with its pressures. Thy will be done. Not any of those parties. Which means also that we experience this in the way of struggle and pain, because denying ourselves, painful as it is, often involves rejection and renunciation by the world. And then we're told to pray for the doing of God's will without murmuring once again. The Catechism here brings up the truth of the importance of our office and our callings. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does that mean? Grant that we and all men may renounce our own will and without murmuring obey thy will, which is only good, that so everyone may attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling. That everybody doing the will of God does their own job and not somebody else's. No busybodying, in other words. When we pray, therefore, the third petition, we're praying against lay preaching. And if somebody says, well, the gospel must go out and nobody else is doing it and I have ability and opportunity, then we say, what about thy will be done? What about your station and your calling? And what about Romans 10, which says, how can they preach except they be sent? By all means, witness, but don't usurp a station or a calling which isn't yours. And staying on that theme regarding preaching, the minister, his office and calling is to preach the gospel, administer the sacraments, pastor the flock of God, and call on all to repent and believe in Jesus crucified. Therefore, he's not a politician, even if he thinks he has the gifts, or no matter how dire the situation. And he doesn't take any other job either. He labors in his calling. Thy will be done for me as a mother, for me as a husband, for me as a child. Thy will be done means I honor my father and my mother. And thy will be done too means that we renounce our own will and attend to the stations and callings that we have in the public worship of the church, so that we do things as the Lord lays down in his word. And it means that we must desire the reign of God's truth. Let's move on to the important adjunct. Thy will be done on earth. On earth. Here again, we pray for the Catholic, that is, universal church, all around the globe, on earth. Not just our bit of it, but all of it, all around the world. And we're praying that God's will be done on earth, not that God's will be done in heaven, that's a needless prayer, but God's will be done on earth, because earth, in this world, is the field and place of trial. Earth is the place where we're tempted. Earth is the place where sin reigns and the ungodly. Earth is the place where we struggle to obey. Thy will be done on earth. And thy will be done on earth too with respect to the saints who are yet to come, as well as those who are already in the kingdom of heaven. The saints who are not yet born, the saints who are not yet born again, may thy will be done by them. And sometimes this is the fruit of some missionaries, particularly working in areas for the first time, preaching the gospel, no one listens, learning the language, translating the scriptures into that tongue. Few people care, a handful of converts, but they're praying all the while, thy will be done. And after they're dead for a certain amount of time, their prayers are answered, and then God does raise up more of a church in that part where they labored long and hard and saw so little fruit in their own lifetime. Thy will be done on earth. And thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the phrase beginning with as talks about the manner in which God's will is to be done. That's what we're praying for. That's the way we must do it. The Catechism explains this bit, as it is in heaven, as meaning that God's will must be done by us as willingly and as faithfully as the angels do in heaven. Do you like the sound of that? That's what we're praying for. Lord, make me do thy will as the angels do in heaven. And make my children do thy will. Not mine, but thy will. As willingly as the angels too. And that sure would make my life a lot more easy. Although then we feel a little bit guilty. When we pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we're obviously praying that we and others do God's will fervently, just like the holy seraphs who burn with a fiery zeal. That follows, doesn't it? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven means that we pray that we and others may do the will of God promptly, just as an angel in the presence of God, and if Christ says, go, Angel Gabriel, and speak words to, let's say, the Virgin Mary or Elizabeth in Luke 1, and the angel immediately goes, doing God's will promptly, even doing what we're told by our parents, without having to be asked or commanded the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth time. Thy will be done wholly, without reservation and without a double mind. Thy will be done perfectly, without any sin. Whew. Thy will be done constantly, so that we're not just doing the will of God when we're prospering spiritually, but the next day we couldn't care less. And thy will be done joyfully. As the Catechism says, renouncing our own will and without murmuring, grumbling, complaining, to do God's will. Why else then are we to pray for the doing of God's will as it is in heaven? Well, the reference to heaven, for one thing, exercises our faith that there is a heaven. Our world denies that. This is all there is. Get used to it. You're stuck here. That's all you'll ever experience. There's nothing more. That's why the world's so depressed. It's stuck in a sinful world filled with all sorts of lies, and it doesn't work for them. But the Christian, when he prays, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, he thinks, yeah, heaven. There's a place where God's glory is seen, unlike this world of misery and darkness, where there are angels who never fail and saints who have been perfected in holiness, where Jesus Christ rules as openly acknowledged King, loved and served, and where I'm headed by God's wondrous grace. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How reasonable. The angels in heaven, as we sang from Psalm 103, do God's commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. And if that's what they do, then that's what we should do too. There's something wrong with our world, that we're not doing it, whereas they in heaven are, and we should be like them. And so the inclusion of the word heaven in the third petition, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, serves to sweeten the prayer for us, because we are praying, but not like the Marxists, well, they don't pray at all, but we are praying for heaven on earth, in the sense that we're praying for the beauty and peace and blessedness of heaven on earth. And it comes through God's grace in answer to prayer. And of course, that brings up the whole issue. What is our expectation as we pray the third petition? And again, I stress that our obedience will never be perfect in this world. This is what Paul was mourning over in Romans 7. O wretched man that I am, I will the good. Thy will be done on earth by me as it is in heaven. But to achieve and perform that which is good, I find not. And so all of our sins are contrary to this prayer. Thy will be done, and then we go and break God's will. But there is an answer from God, and there is some progress in this life. We understand too, therefore, contrary to all the human utopias, that it's only in the next world when God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The perfection comes in the new heavens and the new earth in which dwells righteousness. And the scriptures teach us that he that doeth the will of God abides forever. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that thou would sweetly bend and renew our wills, that we may will thy will. Work in us that perfect will that was in Jesus Christ and is in him now, that we be changed and remove from us the stubbornness and disobedience and hardness of heart which cripples our efforts. Grant this through the intercession of thy Son and the power of his Spirit, and forgive our many weaknesses in this area too. Amen.